They're still excited out there. I love it. It is a good day, amen. Oh. If we haven't met before, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. It is good to be with you, worshiping together and celebrating what God is doing, what God has done, what God is yet to do. I want to start our time together this morning for the sermon off with a question. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't look a gift horse in the mouth? Several of us have. All right. Does anyone know what that actually means? We got a couple of people. Tony, I saw you first. Absolutely. So for those that didn't hear, as I'm trying to... Yes! Absolutely! That's literally like this much of my sermon that you just covered right there. Patrick, I'm having some trouble with the PowerPoint. Could you get me to the horse face there? There we go. What Tony said is correct. You can tell the age of a horse by how long its teeth are, by looking at its mouth, because the teeth never stop growing. And so basically, if you are trying to look a gift horse, a horse someone has given you in the mouth, you're trying to find some fault with the giver. I'm guessing ancient Israel never heard this phrase, partially because the person kind of credited with it is Saint Jerome in about 400 AD or so. But in our passage this morning, ancient Israel definitely looked a gift horse in the mouth, and they tried to find fault with a gift. That being said, I think they discovered something beautiful and wonderful about God at the same time. So I'm going to invite you in your Bibles, if you want to turn to Numbers, we're going to be in the book of Numbers today. Not a common book that we preach out of, but you know me, I kind of like to go to those books every once in a while. Numbers chapter 11, and we're going to read what is going on. We're going to be in verses 4 through 6. Numbers 11, 4 through 6. It's after the people of Israel have fled from Egypt through the Red Sea, and they're wandering in the wilderness. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. This group of previously enslaved people has fled from captivity, from their being forced into slavery, from the number one superpower in the ancient world, that was Egypt. And they get out into the desert and they start complaining and grumbling. Oh, can you remember? We used to eat fish for... I miss meat. We used to eat fish for free in Egypt. First off, what does eating fish have to do with missing meat? That is a question that I have. Maybe that's not a thing here. Do you guys like fish? Wow. I was totally not expecting that to go this way. That's all right. I guess it has protein. I was thinking, man, if you're going to complain about missing something, complain about the pulled pork or the steak or the double quarter pounder or anything like that. But fair enough. But they were complaining because they missed the free food they had in Egypt while they were enslaved. They missed the free food. They probably didn't make the connection of, or maybe they didn't, just willfully forgot. The people that were enslaving them fed them so that they could do the things that those enslaving people wanted them to do, right? To build the pyramids, to build the cities, to do everything else like that. They were complaining about not being able to eat as well, even though this other part of their life was terrible. It seems bonkers to me. And we might think of them as crazy, but I think we might do some of the same things ourselves. We grumble too. I was reading a commentary on the book of Numbers that I got through our public library. By the way, if you have not used our public library here in Topeka, please do. It is amazing. For spiritual books too, I do a lot of my study through a number of the books that I get there. They've got a whole host of things that can be really helpful in your spiritual journey. Make sure you know what you're looking for when you go in, because they don't just have Christian books, obviously, but they've been very helpful. I was reading this commentary there, and it talked about how we grumble about our politicians and our car mechanics, our jobs and our homes, our spouses and our children. It's virtually our national pastime, so ingrained it has been described as our God-given right to grumble. But the thing is, grumbling is really destructive, and mostly it's destructive for us. Now, I want to take a second here. I am not trying to preach for one thing, and Susan, you can back me up here. This text was set well in advance, like 3 months ago almost. This is not about anything that has happened, but this is just something for us to be reminded of as Christ followers. And I also don't want this to sound like I'm trying to squelch anybody from expressing any negative sentiment at all. That'd be crazy talk. We don't want to be that way. But they're being critical in the best sense of that word, it is a fine thing. Because at the heart of being critical, when you are doing it well and rightly, you are wanting change. And you have hope that good and meaningful things can happen afterwards. Moses, the leader in this passage, Moses was a very critical person. He had a lot of time where he said, nope, we're not doing that, we're doing this. We cannot be like that. The prophets throughout the books of the Old Testament, the prophets were very critical of Israel and other nations. Jesus was a pretty critical person. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Don't do life like that. You can do things better. Jesus was also the solution to many of the problems that he was pointing out. And I want to just give us a second here as we're taking a look. Take just a couple of seconds and think about something that you are complaining about right now, that is not going well in your mind and that you would like to go differently. It might be in your family, at your school, at church, at work, wherever it is. Take a couple of seconds and think about it. Do you have hope that things are going to get better? Do you have hope? Do you think that things can improve, that things can change, that things can get better? Because grumbling does not have that hope. Because just complaining to complain, grumbling, whining about it, doesn't have that hope. It says it'll never get better. It was good at some point in the near or distant past, and it's all downhill from here. That's what grumbling says. And I want to say, if you don't feel like the situation that you're in has hope, for one thing, let me introduce you to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? He is full of hope. All that he is hope to all of us. Hope through us, that through what we do, we can bring hope to situations, but he is our hope as well. I want to point us to what initially doesn't look like a very theological song, but I think it is. It's from a kids' movie. Lego Movie 2? Anyone? Caitlin in the back. All right. A couple of people over here. Heberts? Yeah? I like it. Well, we're going Lego Movie 2, Everything's Not Awesome. This is at the point in the story where the characters have encountered something terrible and something kind of hopeless. Like they are in a bad situation and they're all starting to grumble. The first half of this song is kind of sung from that perspective by a few different characters. What's the point? There's no hope. Awesomeness, which is what they were chasing, is a pipe dream. And then somebody chimes in, love's not real, I just want to eat carbs past the ice cream. That was their perspective. I'm done with this. But then one of the main characters chimes in. Stop everyone, just listen. Everything's not awesome, but that doesn't mean it's hopeless and bleak. Everything's not awesome, but in my heart, I believe. Somehow, belief, hope, trust, and especially belief, hope, and trust in Jesus is the antidote to grumbling. It is the opposite. Belief, hope, and trust in Jesus strikes against grumbling. If you don't have hope, you might be somebody that grumbles. If you have hope, if there are things that you see in life that can be good, that can be meaningful, that you trust, even though are not going well right now, you see how they can change and how God can take care of things. That is what we all want. That's when speaking into that situation, even if you speak negatively into that situation, saying things aren't going well right now, but I see the hope that this can go better, that's where we want to be when we interact about things. I do want to throw out one more thing, one last thing about the grumblers. They did not experience necessarily positive things in this story in Numbers chapter 11. A lot of them actually died. Later in the chapter, at the very end, it says, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people and he struck them with a severe plague. They were grumbling about not getting enough meat, and spoiler alert, God gave them meat. He sent a flock of quail. I don't want this to sound like I'm doubting the Bible, because I don't. We believe in the Bible. We believe that this is inspired by God. This is our authority as Christians, that we pay attention to what the Bible says because it can guide us into further connection with God and with truth. And so I don't want to sound like I'm questioning the Bible. A question I have, and something I tried to look into this week and I couldn't find a satisfactory answer, these people, these grumblers that ate a lot of quail, did God send a plague and it killed them, or did they just not know how to cook quail well, ate too much of it, and died from salmonella? Because that, to me, that seems like it's in the realm of possibility. The place, they called this place Kibroth Hataava, which means the graves of gluttony. That the people that ate a lot of the meat died from this plague. And I don't know the answer to that question. It's something that I am still churning in my soul and trying to figure out how it happened. Sometimes the Bible speaks from kind of a human perspective. It is inspired by God. Yes and amen. God inspired our Bibles, but he used human authors to write it. And we recognize that it's just fair. I think it's fair to wonder whether God did this, how God moved in this situation. It's fair to ask that question. But I don't want to leave us at a point where we're talking only about the people that grumbled in this passage, because if we do, we're going to miss something beautiful. We're going to miss something that God did in a major way. There's an underrated part of this passage. If you flip a little bit later, you'll see it in verses 31 and 32. Numbers 11, 31 and 32. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and caught quail all day that day, all that day and throughout the night, and all the next day too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail all around the camp to dry. God provided. Even when the people of Israel were grumbling, even when they were complaining, they were out in the middle of the wilderness with, you know, the Bible says something like 600,000 people at least. You can't feed that many people off the three lizards you caught that day, right? That doesn't work. God had been providing manna this whole time, but they asked for meat, and so God provided still. Even when they were grumbling, God reached out and provided. Even here, God provided quail, and it says 50 bushels that they gathered. This is two 33-gallon trash cans, is what the bags say on them. Right there. That is still not enough to fill the amount of 50 bushels. I think 50 bushels are two 55-gallon bags, so I think we have to add a third trash can on top of this, and even then it's still a little bit short. That's how much quail they gathered. It's crazy. God provided that much for them. Our God takes care of us because God loves us. God took care of the ancient Israelites, and God takes care of us too because He loves us and He wants to help us, to take care of us, because our God is a provider. The creator and sustainer of the universe cares for you and wants to provide for you. That is a radical statement, right? The creator and sustainer of all life, the person who made the universe, who created every atom in existence, cares for you and wants to provide for you because God is a provider. Gene, if you want to take these trash cans off the stage there, I want to set them over there. Thank you. Caitlin and I, we've not been... We haven't been secretive about our health journey. We got some good news, was it last week or a week and a half ago, something like that. Caitlin's heart health has kind of stabilized a bit. It doesn't. We still anticipate there is likely still a need for a heart transplant. That's in our future still. But things are stable right now, and that's a good thing. We get to kick it down the road. It's kicking the can down the road, and that's praiseworthy and good, and yes and amen. We went about 3.5 years ago to the transplant, what did they call that? The transplant evaluation. And it's this 3-day rundown where they run you through every test conceivable. They check your lung health, if you have cancer or not. They look and see what's going on in terms of your support system. Are you an emotionally healthy person? They actually sent a chaplain to do a spiritual check-in with us, which was really meaningful. But there's also somebody that comes in to talk to you about if you can afford a transplant or not. And that was a bit of a gut punch of a conversation, wasn't it? We got down with the social worker, and they said, with the insurance that you have now, we would need a check for $35,000 payable up front at the time that you get the transplant. And at that time, we thought it might have been in the next couple of weeks. And that floored us. We could not afford that. We did not have that, and it just sent us into a tailspin. I'd like to say that the first thing that we did was prayed. I think it was more likely that we had a panic attack. I actually don't remember what happened from the next like 5 minutes after we got that price tag. We eventually got around to praying. We changed some habits. We did some things. We prayed some more. And I've got to say, God provided. People were generous. People walked alongside us and encouraged us. We were able to get new health insurance for Caitlin. And we actually got told late last year that number that crazy number had shrunk down to like less than a sixth of itself, right around a sixth of that number, because God provided. God provided finances. It's one of the reasons why we're able to be here, standing here, because God did provide. And it was financial, it was in insurance. God provided people to help in a number of ways. God provided you, our church family, to help in a number of ways. To give car rides to cardiac rehab, which Caitlin's wrapping up with this week. To be encouragement, with compassion. God provided you to provide compassion, to provide vegetables in the summer, to provide so many different things, different ways. And it has all been God providing. I want to stand here this morning before you to tell you this. God will provide for you. Now, this isn't some, you know, name it and claim it baloney. That's not what I'm talking about. This is not, you know, the health and wealth gospel where being a Christian, you know, makes you famous or something. No, that's not reality. And that's certainly not what we see in the Scriptures. But what we do see is that God is good and that God provides. And often He uses people, He uses us to be a part of that. He probably will, if you are in need, God will probably use our church in some way. And whether your need is financial, or whether your need is spiritual or emotional, or just somebody that needs to come alongside you, our God is a God that provides. I don't know how He will do it. He might use people. He might fly a whole flock of quail over you. Whatever that means, I'm not sure. But God provides. That is what I declare to you today. I was reading a book earlier this week that contrasted those people that were grumbling at the start of our passage with the people that fully believed in God. That were fully engaged with what God was doing. And there was this notion that somehow grumbling, being just upset and negative in all situations, that was somehow the opposite of full faith, belief, and trust. Trusting that God would provide. And so my challenge for you this week, my invitation for you, in wherever you are experiencing this in life, is that you would not grumble, that you would not look a gift horse in the mouth, that you would put your full faith in God, that you would ask God to move in your life, and that you would watch Him, how He provides for what is going on in your life, for what is going on in our church family, in our community, even in our world, because our God is a provider. He loves you, and God will provide. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and let's ask God to provide what we need. God Almighty, we put our trust in You. Our faith is in You. We don't want to be like the people at the beginning of this passage where we grumble, where we try and look a gift horse in the mouth. What we want to be is we want to be people that are following fully after You, that love You, that trust You, that put our faith and hope in You, and that we know that somehow, in ways we do not even understand, that You are our provider. That good things in our life come from You. And we can look into our past and we can see how You have provided then, and we trust in You, that You will provide for us and for others in the future. In the areas where we can be a part of Your work of providing, whether we are coming alongside other people to help in some tangible way, or maybe that they just need help, help us to be part of Your provision, Lord. Help us to make time to provide energy to live out Your provision, but help us also know deeply and in our core that You are our hope, and that as we believe, as we trust in You, we will see more and more that You are our provider. We ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Susan, if you want to come up and share our announcements.
We have a lot of things going on, and I want to just give you an idea. Join us on Monday, April 4th at 7 p.m. because the Jews for Jesus are coming, and I can tell you I've had them presented before, and it's wonderful. They're going to do a presentation of Christ and the Passover, which explores the, not only the Passover, but the Last Supper and your communion experience. So I encourage you all to come. And then My Coins Count. We have to the end of the month. That's one more week, you guys. So I know some of us were dashing for money. Prepare now, okay? This last week, they collected $70 and everything. So yay, that's 70 more. And we really appreciate it. Now, we have been talking about, Pat, with the work day, that they were going to be doing different activities at the headquarters. And Sandra, they went. And Sandra, would you please share a little bit?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear myself. Yes, I was one of seven who went to North Newton to the MCC building where we participated in activities. And as you can see here, he was involved in a little bit of hand sewing. But these folks were putting together hygiene kits with the supplies that they had there. And I don't know if there's another one. He's just carrying the bags. But I helped put together school kits. So the supplies that you bring in here go there. And I was putting together the bags as well as stuffing the bags. And those are all the hygiene kits that the group got done while they were there. So lots was going on with just the seven of us. And Pat was kind enough to show me around. It's really an efficient program at MCC. If you have a chance to volunteer, I would encourage everyone to try and do that. Anyone can do it, from kids to us elders. It was that easy and enjoyable. They make it really easy at MCC, and I think everyone would really appreciate volunteering in that light. So it was a good experience.
Thank you. Thank you for all of you who went. There it went. Okay. Then coming up on, I want to make sure I have the right day, April 30th, is ShareFest. We participated in it last year and everything, and we'll have a little more information, but if you'd like to know more about it right off, you can contact Christy in the office. But she has out there your application forms. They're on the little tables out there. The sooner you get these in, she signs you up, and we'll make sure everybody gets their T-shirts and everything. Then, because there's a few of us more than would like to admit that forget things a lot, she made refrigerator notes. So they're right there, out there also. Just put it on front on your refrigerator to remember actually when it is at. Then my final announcement is Cornerstone Conditioning, they are changing their dates. What was Thursday will now be Wednesdays. Okay? So if you were in the Thursday groups, you will now be meeting on Wednesdays. And if you have any questions, just contact Danny. She'll be glad to fill you in. And the other thing is, because next week is Baptismal Sunday and everything, yay! We are not starting our Sunday school at that time. We will start it the next Sunday on April 3rd. So we want everybody, we need time, you know, to talk to our people who are getting baptized and just get things a little bit organized before the service. So in order to do that, we're just going to push Sunday school starting back one more week. All right. And now Ben.
We are excited to use the baptismal, which is under me now. We're going to have that next week, and that'll be good and exciting. There's one more thing I'd like to share. Many of you know Travis Jost. Let's see if you can. There we go. Over with the camel picture. I just wanted to mention Travis is a missionary that our church connects with and supports. He's also an attender here. At one point, he was in Egypt for some meetings, and he said he got to do some touristy things. So please be praying for Travis, for all of our missionaries, as you think of it. We recognize our concerns for the world have often centered around the Ukraine-Russia conflict, the invasion that's going on right now. We recognize there are other things going on in our world too, so be praying for Travis, for some of our other missionaries as well. Let me give our benediction. May you be people filled with hope. May you not grumble. May you critique things well, but may you mostly be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you be God's hope to this world. Be the hope of the world because you are connected to God. Take care, friends. Bless you. Go in peace.